Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so very much for joining us tonight, taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us on Fire to Inspire. Our topic tonight is, it is time to launch. Learning launching is your option. It's not an option. It's time. So, but before we jump into that, I want to thank our sponsors for sowing into this fertile ground. I want to thank Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, who is the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God and the Spiritual Realm. It is an account about a real life, how God freed her son from over 15 years of an alcohol addiction. And the books are available on all of your online bookstore outlets. But I'm telling you, you definitely want to get this book. It's called Experiencing the Greatness of God and the Spiritual Realm by Alexandra Townsend. Then we have Horizon Unlimited LLC, which is coaching that brings your dreams into reality. And you can go visit DawnBaldwinGibson.com. That's DawnBaldwinGibson.com to get your destiny journey started today. So I'm telling you, you're going to hear from that awesome woman of God momentarily. She is our guest tonight and also a sponsor for this month, and we truly, truly praise God for her. Then we have Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. CDs are available on Reverb Nation and CD Baby. If you love jazz and soothing tones, I'm telling you, that man is a minstrel from heaven. You want to go out and purchase one of those CDs on CD Baby or Reverb Nation. Unique Expression by Design specializes in custom products that bring your ideas to life. And that's Angelise Washington. I'm telling you, she has done everything. If you see me with any out of customized t-shirts, pens, she's done it. And she will do you. She will take care of you as well. It's t-shirts, cups, pens, mugs, journals, whatever you need, whether it's for your customer or business, for your personal needs. She'll take care of your family. I know family reunions are coming up now. So, hey, go ahead and reach out to Unique Expression by Design with Angelise Washington. And then we have Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, located at 1501 Highway 138 inside of the F&D Beauty, located beside Golden Crust in Conyers, Georgia. Roz specializes in all of your hair care and beauty needs, from relaxers, twists, natural hair, sew-ins, quick weaves, lock maintenance, lashes, and so much more. Call for your appointment today at 404-599-3712. Again, that is 404-599-3712. Let the sponsors know that you heard it here first on Fire to Inspire. And thank you again to each and every sponsor for sowing into this fertile ground. And I pray God's blessings upon your business. Guys, I'm telling you, we got a great topic tonight. Powerful, powerful woman of God that we're going to be bringing forth. Her name is Dawn, and she is so humble, and that's what you love. Someone that has say, hey, I'm just Dawn. Yes, I walk in all these gifts, these talents and abilities, but at the end of the day, I'm still Dawn. So I want to welcome to you guys, welcome to the audience, Miss Dawn Baldwin Gibson. Welcome to On Fire Inspire, Dawn.
Thank you so very much. What an honor to be here with you tonight. And I want to also welcome our Facebook Live community that's coming on with us tonight to be a part of to inspire, because this is the time that God has called us to use every gift and talent that he has placed in us. So I'm just excited to be here with you tonight.
Amen. And we're so excited to have you. So introduce yourself to the On Fire to Inspire audience as you are speaking to your live audience.
Right. Well, my name is Dawn Baldwin Gibson. My husband, Pastor Anthony Gibson, and I started a church called Peloton Ministries, which is housed in New Bern, North Carolina. We are right on the coast of eastern North Carolina, closest to the Atlantic Ocean, as we often say. And about 5 years ago, we started this church ministry. And the word Peloton is the Hebrew word for deliverance. And we don't just believe in deliverance in the spiritual sense, but the holistic approach. It's the physical, the emotional, the mental, the stability that God has called us to in every area of our lives. And so we started this ministry. We do a lot of food, a lot of outreach. We just are truly blessed to be able to do the work that God has called us to. And so we do grant writing. We have lots of outreach programs that go on in our church. We have a small congregation. We just do a whole lot of work. But we are thankful and just honored and so humbled that God allows us to do this work.
Amen, amen. And, you know, one of the things that I love to say is that you can't get caught up in the number because you got a lot of small churches that are making great impacts for the kingdom of God. And so it's not about the number, it's all about the heart. So I praise God for you and your husband and, you know, pursuing that vision that God has given you because he's already made provision for the vision. Amen.
That's right. That's right. Every time he makes a way, he continues to make a way. And we're just so honored and just thankful to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the earth realm is what we always say. I didn't know when I went off to college, I got a degree in liberal studies and then a master's in English. I'd been teaching for many, many years, but God has a way of calling us into the place that he wants us to be in. And so I'm just teaching. I was teaching at the college level, but now God has me teaching in a whole nother area, and I just thank him for it. He uses our gifts. He uses our gifts and our talents in ways that we're not always understanding, but it's always necessary because he knows the plan that he has for our lives.
Amen, amen. You know, and many times our gifting will make room for us, not just inside of the church, but also when you're going outside and into, you know, outside of those four walls. And so you were teaching on the outside, and God has allowed that teaching gift to flourish. And so many have been touched because of the impact that you've made on their lives. And my hat goes off to you because everybody's not called to it.
Well, I just tell you, it's always interesting how the Lord works things and how he has them all designed the way he wants them, because every single thing that we've done and we do in our ministry, it's always interesting to me that it's already something that he has either allowed my husband to do or myself to do. And so we're just really humbled. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. In the midst of all of what we see going on in our world, we recognize that this is an exciting time for the body of Christ and for the kingdom of God. He has truly called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so this is the time to be excited about.
Amen, amen. I tell you, that is so true. And you know, it's time for people to stop sitting on their gifts, because it's time for the other people to walk in there and what God has called them to. And they, the people who are, you know, sitting there dormant, maybe holding up someone else because they've been called to help that person, you know.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting because as you see so many giants in the kingdom who are going on to glory, that are leaving the earth realm, who are transitioning on to eternity, what God mm-hmm. is showing us is that this is because he's ready the next generation of giants mm-hmm. to walk yes. in this kingdom authority. And
yes,
we've got to be willing and we've got to be able to understand that God qualifies those he calls. It's not,
mm-hmm,
he doesn't always call the qualified, the ones that it,
mm-hmm,
looks like he would call. He'll call those who have been through the most, gone through the most, seen the most, done the most even. He has such an amazing way of just calling the people into this time and this realm of where we are. And I believe that we are living in some of the most tumultuous times in the world sense, but some of the most exciting time in the kingdom sense. And that's where we've got to make sure that we understand that, yes, we see the trouble that's happening in the world, but we recognize that this world is not our home. We've been called here to do a work. And so the atmosphere is right for us to do the work. And so that's what we got to do.
Amen, amen. You know, it reminded me, when as you said that, it reminded me of one of our ministers saying that a light can't shine as bright as it is supposed to until you see darkness. So this is time for the kingdom of God to rise up and let your light so shine so that people can see the glory of God through you. So it just made me think about her saying that. That just, you know, is a blessing.
Right.
It's so true. And we are up, we're in this world, but no, we're not of this world. So yes,
love
ma'am,
this.
Yes,
right,
ma'am. So the topic
that's
tonight,
amazing.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I was just going to piggyback on what you said, because we had a preacher came to the church. She was preaching. She turned off all the lights in the church,
mm-hmm,
and it was pitch dark. And she lit one candle, lit,
mm-hmm,
the whole room up, the whole space up. And
yes,
so what God shows us is that what you just said is that when there is great darkness, that's when our light,
mm-hmm,
can shine the brightest.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm telling you, it's so powerful how when you look at everything from a spiritual aspect, you're like, wow, God, you know.
Right.
So the topic tonight, what does the topic itself mean to you?
So, you know, this whole topic about launch, you know,
mm-hmm,
we think about a launch pad, you know, launch out, which is the scripture in Luke 5. I love that scripture so much, probably one of my favorites in the Bible, because here's the story that speaks to the time that we are living in. Jesus has been teaching, and he gets on this boat, and he tells Simon Peter, he says, Simon, let down your net for a drought, which is a catch. Let your net down. This is Luke chapter 5. He says, let your net down for a catch. And so Simon does what we so oftentimes will find ourselves doing. We'll say, but you know what, Lord? I've been doing this all night. I've been working. I've been toiling here all the night. And sometimes when God gives us a word, we get so consumed by the way the circumstances look like. I know what I have been doing. I know what I've been involved in doing. I've been working. I've been trying. I've been doing my best, but it doesn't seem to work. That's the toiling all the night. And the scripture says, and got nothing. Sometimes we try so hard, it looks like the more we try, the less we get. But Simon shows us something in this story. He doesn't just stop with the complaint and says, listen, I know you are Jesus the Christ, but I'm a fisherman. I know about fishes, and the fishes aren't biting. And sometimes we feel like that. The bank loan hasn't come through. The opportunity hasn't happened. It doesn't seem like it's working out. But what God is saying is that if we will hold on to what his word is and what the promise of God is, because the word says, Simon says to him, he says, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And what God says to us is that I've got to take my will and submit it to his word. Because when God gives us a word, if he told you to start that business, if he told you to write that book, if he told you that it was time for you to walk out into what God has called you to do, then you've got to be willing and able to walk that thing out regardless of whether the fishes are biting or not. And so God begins to show in this word, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. And Simon says, but nevertheless, even though I've been working, even though I've been doing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do what your word tells me to do. But look what he did. He let down his net, not his net as Jesus had commanded him to do. He let down one net. And what God shows us in this scripture is that when he tells us his word, we got to follow it all the way through. Regardless of if it just looks like, well, I'm going to just try this one business venture because, you know, it's a bad economy. I really don't know if I should really do all of what God has called me to do. I know he told me to open up a foster care home, but, Lord, I just can't see it. So I'm going to just take a child in. When he told you to open up an entire orphan or a home, for children who have been abandoned. We've got to go all in with what God says. But Simon said, well, I'm going to let down my net. Well, he let down his net, and he took in so many fishes that his net broke to the point where his boat began to sink. And he called in other partners. And so God tells us that what we need to work on is some partners. We need to work on who is it that I'm connected to. Last week, I did a teaching on fake associations. You know, we hold on to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And God is saying there are some people that are for a reason, some for a season, and then there's some for a lifetime. But we've got to understand and be able to discern who people are. Are they really for us? Are they really against us? Are they just there to be a partner? Are they there to be a deep friend? What is it that God has called for the people in my life who are assigned to my life to be? Are they meant to be a partner wherein if they have so many fish, they'll call me? They won't just come when I have the surplus, but they'll be willing to give. Who are our partners? Well, in this scripture, in Luke chapter 5, he beckons his partners, and they come, and they receive the bounty of what God had done. But you know what? It's so interesting about this scripture. Most of us get so excited, and I always have, because he got all those fishes. And when you look at how many fish he took in, it would have been able to provide for their family, some say for years. But when Simon recognized his own failure as a person, as a human, he says, I'm just a sinful man, O Lord. From that point, he was willing and did. He left all. The scripture says he forsook all. Am I willing when God blesses me to give it all back to him and say, listen, I recognize it's nothing that I've done. This is all for you, God. And I recognize that. And that's when he walked into his destiny. Because Jesus then said, no longer are you a fisher of these fishes. Now you're a fisherman of men. That was his destiny. His destiny was those 3,000 that repented over in Acts. God has got destiny on the lives of the listeners and those that are watching all over this nation. God is saying that I have raised you up for such a time as this to be the light in a dark world so that you can understand that God has got so much greatness in you that he's planted back when Jeremiah, the first chapter in the fifth verse, it says that. He said, even before I formed you in your mother's belly, I had already ordained you. There's an ordination service that God has already prepared, that already has happened, and nobody was there but you and God. God knows the greatness that is inside of you. And we cannot allow the circumstances and situations that might not have worked out before to stop us from the greatness that is ahead of us. And so this is the time to launch, no doubt about it. It's the time to launch into what God has called each and every one of us to.
Amen, amen. I was invited to a prayer call this morning to lead the women's prayer call with the, oh goodness, I can't think of the name of it. But one of the things the Lord placed in my heart was to remind people who he said that they were, and not what the world has said, and not what people have said, and not what situations have told them, but what has God said about who you are. And then so right. I started out the prayer. Before the prayer, we put the word on it. So we went to the scripture, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. We put the scripture on that because he's purposed it, he will perform it. So it was everything that he had said about you. And so you can only take what he said and no longer take what people have said, what man has said, what your situation or circumstances in the past or current has said. Go ahead and put that word in your spirit, and you continue to proclaim it until you see it manifest. So I'm telling you, I was just having a good old time this morning. Yes, ma'am.
I tell you, it is a blessing. And when we go back and when we recognize that the Lord has given us his word, the scripture in Genesis, the 50th chapter, he says, what the enemy, what the devil meant for evil, God has turned it for your good. What seems like is working against you is really working for you. Romans 8 says it this way. He says, and we know, this is an assurity, we can trust God in this, and we know all things are working together for them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. That's what we can know that God is saying about our lives. He's saying in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. We can know for a surety that whatever I'm going through, it might be for, he says, that, yes, suffering, mourning might go on for a night, but joy, yes, is going to come in the morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord our God, he delivers us from them all. The scripture goes on and says in Psalm 37, it says, I once was young and now I'm old, and one thing I've not seen is the righteous forsaken nor his seed to beg bread. We can be assured that God's word is sure. Scripture says over in Hebrews, he says, and now faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. The Amplified Version says it's the proof positive. It's my title deed to what God has promised to me. You can have a title deed. My husband has a title deed to the house that his mother left him. And even though somebody else is living in that house, because he owns it, because he has a title deed to it, he can go there right now and he can take ownership of it. And God is saying that he has given us the title deed to some things in our lives. And all we've got to do is to show up with the title deed, which is the word of God in our hand, and declare and decree that I don't care what the enemy has said or what he's tried to do, that I know what God said about my life, and no matter what is happening in this world around me, it is a sure thing that I'm going to walk this thing out, what God has called me to. So it's time. The time is now. There's no doubt about it. As a prophet of God, I can tell that the atmosphere is ripe for people to walk out their destiny. We need people who have been created to work with young girls, because we see more young girls who are out, who are struggling with all kinds of issues. I've heard so many people who say, you know what, I have a mentorship ministry in my spirit. This is the time. God is saying this is the time. He is saying, if you have had that dream that you've been sitting on and you say, but 20 years ago I tried it and it didn't work, this is the time. This is the time. Oh, my God. I'm so excited about God. I've been talking about this is a Kairos moment. What is a Kairos moment? It is the moment when the opportune time meets the opportunity that God has placed. And God is showing us that this is an opportune time. Kairos, that to launch, to set out what God has said, to launch out into the deep. You can never get the fish that God wants you to have as long as you're holding on to the shore. You just can't do it. You got to launch out into a place that is not known, is not familiar. The deep is not a place of comfort. You don't get they have these different hotels, and they say, you know, you sleep at this hotel, and you get the best bed. Well, you're not going to find the best bed in the deep. You're going to find the rough. You're going to find it hard. You're going to find it difficult. But that is where you are going to reap the greatest dividends of what God has for you is in the deep. So you're going to have to launch out in the deep.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, I'm telling you, you are all over my prayer this morning. I believe you were on there. I tell you. But one thing you said, you know, when you are in tune with the voice of God, I'm telling you, everybody's on the same page and you're speaking yes. the same thing. And so the purpose and the plan, he's already given you your yea and your amen. And he's already told you that it's a finished work. People don't realize it's finished. So I think that's why they look at it differently. But it's all in how you see it. Do you see it half empty or half full? Well, I choose right. to see it half full. And it comes with a shifting of the mind.
Right.
Shift your mind to know that God has already done it for you.
It's going to be where we have to be. Because what we see is the world system is doing one thing. And the mm-hmm. kingdom is happening. Something totally different is happening. And we have mm-hmm. to understand that that's the way it works, because yes. the world system and the gospel do not operate on the same system. The world no. says if you want to get ahead, you got to stab your way. You got to claw. You got to. It says if you want to be the first, you got to go be the last. The last shall be first. If you want to get something, you go get it. But the scripture says that if you give, that's how you receive. Just right. the opposite. If you want right. to be above, you got to go beneath. You got to be a servant. So it doesn't make a lot of sense in the world system how the gospel works. But it's what works. And so what we see is now there's all this turmoil all over the world. The world is groaning. And God is saying, I'm looking for my children who I have had, you know, on the backside of the desert, so to speak. I have those that have been faithful. I just had somebody who emailed me from Columbus, Georgia, and I think they're able to hear the radios, but they're not able to watch the live. Why? Because mm-hmm. they're in praise team rehearsal. And I'm saying, I'm watching people who have been faithful over where God has called them to. They've been mm-hmm. cleaning the kitchen at the church. They've been scrubbing mm-hmm. the floors at the church. The people that you didn't see as being the leaders, God is showing that your faithfulness is being rewarded in this time mm-hmm. and season, because God is looking for servants. He's not looking for wonders to be on a platform. That's, you know what, yeah, to God be the glory. He's looking for people who are willing to serve, who are willing to love those that think they are unlovable. He's looking for those who are willing to take off their titles and put on humility. Look, I'm going to be the first one to give all due respect to everyone in the kingdom. But if I'm so caught up in who I think I am that I can't serve any longer, then I'm not of use. Jesus Christ, the scriptures in Philippians says, he made himself of no reputation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he made himself of no reputation. And so I recognize that that's what I have to do. I've got to take off my ego. I've got to take off my pride, because God can't use that in this season. He's looking for humility. He's looking for humbleness. He's looking for a pure heart that will love him and will love his people. We've got so many people who are hurt all over this world, who are just crying out for someone to show them the real love of Jesus Christ. And we have been called in this time, in this season. I'm telling you, it is an exciting time to be in the body of Christ. And I'm hoping that we will seize this moment like nothing, like never before, and hold on to what God has called us to do and walk it out. It's time to launch.
Amen. Amen and amen. You know, you're right. He's raising up the remnants. He's raising up the people that's been in that background, that's been in the shadows, you know. He's raising those people up because, like you said, they're servitude. They've just been, you know, doing, not to say they did it, but they did it from the heart. And those are the people that he's raising up in this hour. And I'm seeing it time after time, door after door opening for people who have that heart, you know?
Yes, indeed. And we have one of our law enforcement leaders from the state of North Carolina who's just joined us, and he's trying to get on so he can hear. Because what I realize is that God is calling people from all over the kingdom to do this work. And so, you know, when we talked about partners a little while ago, we have to understand that partners come in all different shapes and sizes and creeds and colors. We've got to understand that God is calling us out of comfort, of being in a place where I understand and I know it's not about what I know. The scripture says this in Job. He says, I looked to my right, I couldn't see him. I looked to my left, I couldn't perceive him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And what God is showing us is that we've got to trust him even when we can't trace him. And so he is raising up people who are going to be partners in the work he's called us to do. We might not agree on everything, but can we agree on the kingdom? Can we agree on the kingdom agenda? And so we are going to have to allow God to transform our thinking in a way that allows us to move from where we are to where he wants to take us.
Amen, amen, amen. I like how you said that, because so many times, you know, people are caught up in seeing, you know, what they currently see in the physical. And so I like what you said, you got to trust them even when you can't trace them. And one of the things, I've been doing some mentoring lately, and I've been telling the people to start speaking, and this is what I learned from my pastor, Apostle Zoe. Stop speaking what you currently see and start speaking what you want to see. Because if you keep speaking what you currently see, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. So I tell you, when I had them shift that conversation, we talked about that on a conference call on Sunday. And I promise you, I had a text with a praise report on Monday, because it was a shifting of the mindset and a shifting of your words, because you got to understand the power and authority that you operate in, and that those words do have power. It's not just a cliche. You have power in your tongue, in your mouth, and you have got to give you the tools to lock and unlock some things. He's giving you the tools to shift some things and shut some things down, right?
Right. And you know what? It's so amazing. Last week we talked about my husband and I watched the Oscars, and I was saying that we watched it from the beginning, well, almost the beginning, through all the cinematography, all of those different categories. We watched it, and right at the end, I told my husband, I said this is who's gonna win Best Picture, but they're not supposed to win. And he said, what? And I said, La La Land is going to win, but they're not supposed to win. So when they announced it, we turned off. And so on Facebook, people started making comments about, oh, a Steve Harvey moment, that kind of thing, and people were laughing. And when I turned back the Lord began to show me. He said, I want you to see this. You stayed with it as long as you felt like it. But right when the change was going to happen, when you were getting ready to see what I was about to do, because even though it's natural, I want to use a spiritual sense from it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be careful that we're not so busy walking things out that we get right there to the victory to see mm-hmm. the change happen that we turn off, that we miss it right there at the 11th mm-hmm. hour. We watched the whole thing. And the thing that everybody talks about, we missed it. Why? Because we gave up right there at the last moment, like literally. And the Lord began to show us. He said, I'm going to change things that have already been announced for certain for other people. You think it's over because somebody else has walked into what you thought was yours, but I'm able to change it in a way where you won't have lost anything but gained.
Amen.
So we got to understand that our words, they have such power, and we are not as children of God, we are not using the words that God has given to us, because he says that we have the power to speak those things that be not as though they were. I have the ability as a kingdom child, as a child of the Most High, I can speak a word and angels begin to work on that word because I have kingdom authority. And when we get into this mentality, when we're saying, oh, I'm so tired, well, I'm going to be tired because I just put my word out. I'm always broke. We're always broke then because that's what my word is. I have to be able to recognize the power of what God has placed in this tongue. And when the mm-hmm. devil brings things and I get ready to say something, I've got to be able to shut it down. That's why the scripture says that we've got to take into captivity every single thought that would try to set itself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so whenever the devil comes in and he's trying to say, well, you're not this, you're not doing that, and this is what's supposed to happen, and this didn't happen, and all of those things that the devil tries to come at us, woo, let me tell you what, then what I realize is that I must be closer than what I recognize, because the devil is trying to get me to speak something that would cause a shift in the atmosphere. But I'm not willing to give over my word so that he can now change what God has destined for my life. So, yes, we have kingdom authority in our tongue. Yes, indeed.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm telling you, you know, I want people to understand that the words that you speak have power. So don't say, I'm broke, honey, please. The lack is not of the kingdom of God. It lack is not anywhere in the Bible. The kingdom ain't broke. Kings rule and reign, and that's who you are. You rule and reign, you're royalty, and when you see yourself as the royal priesthood that he has called you to be, his chosen, then you'll speak differently. But you got to see it differently in order to speak differently. Because if you start speaking differently, you'll start seeing the outcome. And like you said, if you speak death, you're going to see death. But if you speak life, I promise you, just like we got that turnaround within less than 24 hours, I got that text telling me about his testimony. I was like, look at God. It's all in what you're speaking and declaring.
Right. And when we recognize that authority, when we recognize that level of authority that Jesus Christ has put in us. You know, mm-hmm. if you go back and look over in John, first chapter, I think it's about the 10th or the 12th verse, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become mm-hmm. the sons of God. And mm-hmm. when we think about that power, you can start going through John and start looking in the second chapter. He's at a wedding feast. And here there's no more wine, and they run out. And here goes Mary saying, there's no more wine. And Jesus says to her, says, woman, why do you tell me this? You know, it's not yet my time. But she, knowing that he's able to meet the need, called forth those and says, whatever he tells you to do, go do it. And by the time the governor gets the water, which is now wine, he says, wait a minute, how is it that you all have saved the best for last? Usually you give the best first and let them get, and then you give them the, you know, whatever's left later. But you've done something unique here. And so when we start looking at what Jesus does, what the power is that he gives us, if you go over to John chapter 5 and we see that man at the pool of Bethesda, and we look at him and we're saying, okay, he's been there for 38 years. He doesn't say, let me heal you. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Why? Because he recognizes that healing is one thing, but wholeness is another. And so then he does what? He starts doing what we do. The angel comes at a certain time and he troubles the water and somebody else gets in. No. That's not the process that's going to work for you. You've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing before you who's going to make you whole. So the water and what everybody else needed, that's not going to work for you. I got something different. That's the kind of power that God gives us. Oh, God. He says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the kind of God that we're serving. And so we've got to transform our minds. Let him renew our minds and our spirits to understand that what I see is temporal, but where I'm going is eternity, and that I've got to have an eternal view of the world in which I'm living in.
Amen. I tell you, honey, I tell you, you just made me want to go cut some cartwheels. You know, many times, so many people are caught up in, well, they know the word, but they're not proclaiming it and living it. And this is what I said to that, because if you watch the chat, sometimes people will actually have questions or comments that they place in the event, so you can watch that. I forgot to tell you that. But, I had a person reach out and say, well, you know, sometimes people know the word, but they are just like kids who, you know, don't want to miss out on something. And here's what I said to this. This is my response to that comment. You'll keep getting what you're getting until you put the word of God on it and actually, because you can't live any kind of way. You can't say any kind of thing and think you're going to get kingdom results. No, you get kingdom results by living like the kingdom citizen and the sonship that he's already given you. You know, when you're walking with kingdom standards, the kingdom will work for you.
Yeah. Can I share it with just share a testimony or two? Because I think you're absolutely right. So I think sometimes when we're living this world, we say, you know, I hear you, I hear the launch out, I hear all of that, but you know, you just don't recognize what, you know, I'm living and what I'm going through right now. And you know, I was sharing with our church congregation recently. I remember when I was believing God for a home. Now, I was trusting God for a house, and I said, well, and as I was going through my 20s and my 30s, I always believed, well, I'll get married, and then I'll get the house. And the Lord said very clearly to me in prayer one morning, he said, you will build a house before you get married. And I was just like, well, I didn't really like that plan. I liked the plan that I had. And that's not what he was saying, because what God was doing was he was showing me that he could use anyone, including me, to bring about what he had made the promise for. And so I was like, Lord, but I don't see how my credit's going to work out. I don't see how I'm going to get the money. I started taking on extra jobs, and I was trying to save and this and that. And so the Lord spoke to me one day to go talk to a believer who owned a hair salon. And she told me who to go see to get a house. And when I went to talk to the lady, she printed out my report. She had all this stuff in yellow. She said, go and work on this stuff. I was like, well, the whole page looks yellow. And so I said, well, praise God, I'll go ahead. And so she said, come back in 6 months. And so I did. I was discouraged, but I did what she said, and I worked on my things 6 months. And it was like stuff that was easily and doable, but because I had never taken the time to deal with it, it seemed overwhelming. So when I went back to her, she said, oh, yeah, we got you qualified for a home, and then I couldn't find a builder, and God showed me who the builder was going to be. Literally, a man walked up to me I had never seen before, and he said, are you trying to build a house? I said, yes. I said, and get this, I built this house in 2005. I was the first woman of color in my county to build a stick-built general contracting home. That's still amazing to me.
It is.
I know, 2005, it's just still amazing. And like, I would come home, and I live on a farm, on my family's farm, and so I was living next door with my mom, and I would come home, and there would be old ladies who would be parked out in the driveway, and they said, we just wanted to see the house being built. We just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just really interesting to see how all of that worked. But at the end of it, God had said to me, he said, I had saved about $10,000 because the Lord told me, he said, whatever you want, ask for it. Well, those were add-ons, and so I was going to have to pay for those add-ons, you know, the extra in tile in the bathroom. I got to pay for that, right? And so I saved up $10,000. I said, okay, I'm going to pay the builder for these extra things once I get there. To that point, and he finished the house. He finished the house, and about a month before he finished it, the Lord said, the $10,000, you're supposed to give that in ministry. I said, what? Whoa, I need that money for the house. He said, I was praying one morning. He said, no, I'm going to show you how to give this money to ministry. I was at a women's ministry, and the Lord told me to give a woman $800. A woman called me that night. She said our ministry was getting ready to be foreclosed on for $800, and we didn't know how we were going to get the money by Monday. So God was just doing things, and I knew it was God, but I was still trying to figure out how my need was going to get met because I needed that $10,000 to get in my house. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I said, okay, God, how are you going to do this? What are you going to do? And so I had $500 left. And Bishop Neil Ellis was doing a conference in New Bern. And I said, well, I've got $300 in my savings account and $200 in my checking. I said, I'm going to give the $200 I have in my checking. And he said, I'm looking for a $500 seed. I said, God, once I do that, I have no money left. And I wrote out that last check for $500. And I sold that money. I remember I was sick. I was sitting in the back. And I said, Lord, now what am I going to do? I started dodging my builder because I didn't want to see him because I didn't have any money. And so he sent me a thing, and it said that I had $31,000 I owed him. I said, $31,000. I said, well, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have the $10,000, let alone the $31,000. I was at work. I was so sick that day. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit just said, call the bank. Well, he had drawn all of the money out, so I'm like, why am I calling the bank? When I called the bank, they said you got $40,000 that's still left. Wait a minute. Hold on. God, I thank you. I had how much? What he showed me was what you thought was your seed, what you thought was going to meet your need was actually your seed because you didn't have enough to meet the need. So that was really just my seed. Oh, my God. And so I said, Lord, I thank you so much. So when I was talking to my builder, I told him, I said, you know what? One day I'm going to be talking to the president of the United States about this house. And the man, his wife started laughing. And I must say the builder never started laughing, but his wife was laughing. And I did get ready to laugh. And the Lord said, is anything too hard for God?
Mm-hmm.
12 days later, I sat beside that president of the United States of America talking about that house. The picture is still on the internet. It was one of those pictures that they just kept when the previous White House left. It was one of those pictures they just kept for some reason. And I tell people that's a testament that God will honor the word of his children.
Yes.
You can speak a word that seems impossible, but when God says it's going to happen, you can know for a surety that it's going to come to pass. And I want to encourage every single one of your listeners tonight, every one of the Facebook Live listeners tonight. Do not give up on what God has promised you, what God has said he is able to perform it. And no matter what the devil is saying in your ear, the devil is a liar. The scripture says that when he speaks of his native tongue, which is a lie. So when he's speaking to you, he cannot be telling you the truth. So when he says you can't have it, he's a liar. When he says you'll never be anything, he's a liar. When he says that you will never amount to, that's a lie. When he says that the money won't come through, that's a lie. God says he is able and willing to perform it. We've got to have the faith to receive it and a mind to believe it. He says if you will look at that mountain and believe it in your heart, your mind, and not doubt in your heart, that you can speak to that mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, it's going to happen. That mountain will move. That mountain will move. Rosella hears me right now. She's saying, preach the word. Let me tell you, you got to know that God has this all worked out. A miracle is never a miracle when you can do it. A miracle is when God has to do it. A miracle is never when I can do it. It's when God has to do it. God, I thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is so true. Hallelujah. I got to put that in the post. A miracle. Can you repeat that, woman of God?
It's a miracle is never something I can do. A miracle is that God has to do it. I can't do it. If I could do it, I would rely on myself. I would be like, oh, I got that. And see, that's the problem. Too many of us have lived the I got that life. And God is saying, I've got it. You can't handle it. You weren't even equipped to handle it. I've been recognizing recently people who have been experiencing heart palpitations or dealing with back problems or dealing with aches and pains. And what God began to show, he said, you're carrying in too much that you weren't meant to carry. God did not ordain for us to carry the amount of weight that we are carrying. He tells us to give it over to him, for his burden is light. He said, I want to take it. I want you to give it to me, because then you will not have to. He's already gone to the cross. He doesn't expect us to. He knew we couldn't do it. And so all we got to do is rest and be assured of who we are in God. And that is that we are his child. We are a joint heir. We are more than a conqueror. We are a royal priesthood. We are who God has called us to be. And as long as I can keep my mind focused on him and not get distracted by the world and the system that is swirling around us, I know that God's kingdom is going to continue to move forward, and so will our destinies in him.
Amen. I'm telling you, woman of God, I know that you're blessing some people, and I know you're freeing some people as well, because many times when people are caught up in being religious and traditional, their mindset is still in bondage. But I believe I felt some chains being falling off of somebody's mind. So I just thank God for your transparency. I thank God for your obedience. And I thank God for that testimony, because, see, you can't put God in a box and think that you're going to see his hand like you experienced his hand. But when you come out of that box, and that's something God had told me, because, see, what I was telling God when he told me, even with this show, I was like, I don't know anything about radio. I said, but originally he said, write the book on Fire to Inspire. And I said, but I'm a children's author. He said, I know who you are, and I'm going to show you who you are if you come out of that box. Once you come out of that box, I'm going to show you the fullness of who I created you to be. And I'm like, my God, my God. And so I walked in obedience. And one of the things that made me walk in obedience, I'm going to be honest, because, you know, one thing about me, I'm transparent as well. It wasn't something I jumped for joy to say I'm going to do, because it was something that was uncomfortable. And he said, first of all, I need you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And secondly, there are too many lives tied into your obedience. So as I started doing this, as I had the book and started going and speaking, there have been people that said, you know, I was suicidal prior to meeting you. You don't know how you encouraged my spirit, and different things that the feedback that I would get back, you know, via people coming up to me or chats or text messages or emails. And that's when you know you are on assignment and you're doing what God purposed in your heart to do. And so I just thank you for joining us tonight, because I'm telling you, some bondage, some people done been free tonight. Some people have been free tonight. The limits. See, we serve a limitless God. So where are you going to put limits on him? Where are you going to put boundaries on?
That's right.
You got to have that now and faith.
That's right. That's right. Now faith. Now faith. Right now. He's doing it right now. There were some things at 8 o'clock that looked one way, but at 8:55, they're looking a whole different way. God is able in a moment. That's what Kairos is that moment to change a whole world situation. And so right now, I believe that he is even transforming our lives even as we are having this conversation. When you talk about the fire to be inspired. And then if you look at it and you think about it, he said it was just like fire shut up in my bones. There's something when you start getting around fire that causes you to shift. There's something about fire. Even when the Hebrew boys were in the midst of the fire, there was that fourth one. Wait a minute, we only threw three in the fire, but there's one more. It's something about fire that transforms. Oh, my God, that transforms us. And God is saying that in the midst of the fire that some of us are living in right now, he is showing that the fourth man is on the duty. He's right there with us. He has not let us go through it by ourselves. Oh, God. And you can be inspired by that. Even the title that God has birthed out of this program is life-changing. It's transformative. Formative. It's changing even our mindset. Because if I'm in the midst of a fire, I can still be inspired. Yes, because God is right there with me. The word shows me. It's something when God gets in the words that he uses and shows us the magnitude of the power that he's showing in us and through us, even right now. He's doing it for each and every one of us in ways we cannot even imagine.
My God, my God, my God. God, my God, my God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you.
Hallelujah. I tell you. Oh, my God, my God, my God. The time is now. The time is now. The time is now. You know, we were on a prayer call recently, and that was one of the things that the Lord was saying, is the time is now. And now in Spanish is I order. And so one of the ladies said now, and I said I order. And she said now again, and I said I order. And so I'm telling you.
Wow.
Ooh, Jesus. I'm telling you, when you understand that you understand. And one of the things I also said in the prayer call this morning, I was praying and I asked God, I said, God, silence every voice that is not yours, so that they no longer hear any voice but your voice to speak life into them, and let them be intentional. See, because the Lord told me last year, he said, I need you to be intentional. I need you to be strategic, and I need you to move with momentum. And I said, my God. And so even with that this morning, praying for the lady, I said, Lord, I thank you that they are intentional about their words. They will no longer speak death, but speak life over their life. They will proclaim what you've called them to be and what you've called them to do, despite the current circumstance or the past circumstance. It does not dictate their future, because you've already given them a victorious future of success, a life of success. So So I tell you, woman of God, you just you just hit it on home, brought it on home.
Well, I tell you, God be the glory. And I tell you, it's just a blessing. And I just pray that God continues to open up limitless doors for you as you continue to move in the things that God has called you to, and that nothing nor no hindrance would even try to even come nigh the road that God has called you to walk in this time and this season.
Amen. I appreciate that, and I'm telling you, I'm so excited. You know, there's an excitement that that comes along with understanding that you are walking in your purpose. See, when you come out of the mundane, just, you know, existing, and I think that's one of the things, how can someone tell you something that they haven't lived? But if they lived it, they can tell you with excitement about, hey, let me tell you, don't go that way, because that way it's not going to be good, you know. And that's what he did. He said, it's time, tell the people it's time to stop existing and start living the life that I declared for them, that I created for them. And he said, who can better tell the story than a person that I said, okay, it's time to stop existing. It's time to unpause, because
right.
You've been on pause too long. So...
Amen, amen. Well, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come and to talk with your listeners and just to share what God has been saying to us on this end. And I tell you, God is really good, and I'm so blessed to just have had this wonderful opportunity. I just want to give a shout-out to my dear sister, Cheryl, who brought us, connected us together.
Yes.
She's such a gift to the kingdom of God, and I'm just so blessed by her. I've known her since we were in college together. I looked up to her then. I look up to her now. And so she has just been a continual blessing to my life as long as I've known her.
Amen, amen. And I want to thank you for being a sponsor this month as well for On Fire to Inspire. And I pray that as people have heard, you know, the kingdom in you, that they see, well, wait a minute, if she's speaking life into me in this way, how much more can I get from her in a one-on-one session? So I pray the blessings of God on that as well. Amen, amen. Well, did you have anything else? Because I know you got to wrap up your Facebook Live.
I just want to say thank you. And I am just, and God bless all of your listeners, and just continue to be on fire to inspire, because it is needed for such a time as this.
Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us tonight. We truly appreciate you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your gifts, talents, and abilities. And I pray the blessings of God for you and your husband, your ministries.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Well, guys, tonight, if you missed any of this broadcast, I'm telling you, you got to go back and listen to the recording. It will be available shortly. That was Ms. Dawn Baldwin Gibson. Dawn Gibson has been a blessing to us. I'm telling you, the topic was, it's time to launch. The time is now. Stop talking about, well, what about? Stop talking about, well, I don't have the money. Speak that money into existence and watch God manifest it. I'm telling you, change your thinking, change your speaking, and watch God change the way that you're seeing things happen. Guys, I'm telling you again, if you missed any of this interview, you definitely want to go back and listen to it, because it will bless you. It will uplift you, and it will ignite some things that you may have been just letting simmer. No, it's going to reignite it. We will be doing an author showcase the last 2 weeks of this month. And I'm telling you, if you are interested in being an author on display with the author showcase celebrating the Reading Across America month and our Reading Awareness month, reach out to us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. Very, very affordable, guys. It's like, really, people ask me, is that all? I'm like, yes, it's not about the money. It's about the visibility and bringing you to the forefront. Again, onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. If you're on Facebook, I am on Facebook, Aaliyah Butler, and we do have the flyers out there. On Instagram, On Fire to Inspire, on Twitter, And also, as I stated, the book is actually, the show actually stemmed from the book On Fire to Inspire, and it is available on CD, I was about to say CD Baby, Amazon and Kindle, I apologize. It's available on Amazon and Kindle. And then there's a book of prayers, affirmations, and declarations also available as an ebook out there. And then finally, for your little ones, we do have a book called A Learning Book Just For Me, and it teaches in English and Spanish with a music CD. So what I say is, as a purpose midwife, I educate your children, but I empower the adult. I am Aaliyah Butler. Tune in next week, same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to On Fire to Inspire. I love you guys. Remember, it is time. The time is now. No more sitting on your gifts. It's time for you to walk. It's time for you to move, because God has made a provision for every vision he's given you. I will talk to you next week. Have a blessed one.